Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Pfluger named to major national security committees by OA News at OAOA.com. Washington, U.S. Republican August Pfluger from San Angelo was appointed to serve as a member on both the House Committee on Homeland Security and the House for Foreign Affairs Committee for the 117th Congress. I am honored and excited to represent the 11th District of Texas on two fantastic committees tasked with defending the security of our nation at home and abroad, Pfluger stated in a press release. The most important role of the federal government is protecting our citizens from national security threats. And both of these committees will allow our district to have a seat at the table regarding immigration and border security, counterterrorism, cybersecurity, energy, and international trade. I will also be directly involved in advancing America's position against global threats like China, Russia, Iran, and other rogue actors, and defeating American energy on the international stage. With over 1,254 miles of shared border between Texas and Mexico, military intelligence training at Goodfellow Air Force Base, critical border security support operations, and a robust energy and agricultural sector throughout our district, these are more than policies, they are personal. I am thrilled that these committee assignments directly relate to protecting the critical oil and gas infrastructure and agriculture production in the 11th District. I look forward to working under the leadership of ranking members CATCO, New York 24, and McCall, Texas 10, as well as Chairman Thompson, MI-02, and Meeks, NY-02, as we hit the ground running to ensure the United States remains the safest, most prosperous nation in the world. The Committee on Homeland Security was created by the U.S. House of Representatives in 2002 in the aftermath of September 11, 2001, the press release stated. The Committee on Homeland Security is directly involved in border securities, intelligence, counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and the enforcement of immigration laws. The committee was first formed as a select non-permanent committee to provide congressional oversight over the development of the Department of Homeland Security. The committee was made permanent when it was designated as the Standing Committee of the House on January 4, 2005, the first day of the 109th Congress. It is led by Chairman Bernie Thompson, MI-02, and Republican Ranking Member John CATCO, New York 24. The press release also detailed that House Committee on Foreign Affairs Republicans, led by Chairman Gregory Meeks, NY-05, and Republican Ranking Member Michael McCall, TX-10, considered legislation that impacts the diplomatic community, which includes the Department of State, the Agency for International Development, USAID, the Peace Corps, the United Nations, and the enforcement of the Arms Export Control Act. Local News Roundup. Woman charged with stealing more than $300,000 from employer. A 61-year-old woman was arrested after she reportedly stole more than $1,000 from her employer from 2014 to 2019. Espinosa's Hope Garcia was charged with theft, a first-degree felony. Permian Basin Broadcasting LLC reported that an employee, Garcia, stole funds from the business between 2014 and 2019, an Odessa Police Department affidavit stated. Permian Basin Broadcasting LLC reportedly detailed that Garcia's responsibilities were to receive all business payments or funds and make all deposits. The theft happened when she took cash payments and altered business deposit records to hide her activities. Permian Basin Broadcasting LLC provided receipts, bank statements, business records, and other documentation providing the loss to the business, the affidavit stated. The financial loss totaled more than $300,000. Garcia was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 8:13 a.m. January 25th. Jail records show she had one bond totaling $40,000 and she posted bail on January 25th. Man charged with assaulting officer jailed after night of smoking meth. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed a 47-year-old man admitted to smoking meth all night long before he was pepper sprayed when he resisted arrest and then assaulted a police officer and bit a jailer while he was at the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. Sergio Alfonso Cabrera was charged with two counts of assaulting a public servant, a third-degree felony resisting arrest, a Class A misdemeanor, and public intoxication, a Class C misdemeanor. Cabrera also had two warrants for a patrol violation for controlled substance. He is also being held by the U.S. Marshals. OPD officers were dispatched at 7:48 a.m. January 21st to MCM Elegante, which is located at 5200 East University Boulevard, in reference to an intoxicated subject who was running around the hallways and pulling fire alarms, the affidavit stated. Prior to officers arriving, the reporting party, identified as Dustin Bass, reportedly had Cabrera detained on the east side of the building, but he was still fighting them. When officers arrived at the scene, they reportedly attempted to place handcuffs on Cabrera's right wrist, and while doing so, he pulled his left arm away from the other reporting party, identified as Harvey Anderson. Cabrera was given verbal commands to get on the ground or he was going to get pepper sprayed, the affidavit stated. Cabrera continued to fight and resist officers. Cabrera continued to resist until he was pepper sprayed. Cabrera then complied and went to the ground. Police were reportedly able to place the second handcuff on Cabrera's left wrist. Officers asked Cabrera what his problem was and what he was on, and he stated that he had been smoking meth all night long. Cabrera was transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center, and while at the jail, he kicked OPD Corporal C. Watts on his right leg, which caused pain, and he pulled on Corporal Watts' fingers and moved them in a manner that caused pain. Cabrera also bit jailer Justin Toombs. Cabrera has three bonds totaling $22,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday afternoon, jail records show. Overpass construction on Loop 338 scheduled to begin February. $15.7 million project to be completed in spring 2023. OA News at OAOA.com. A project to build an overpass taking East Loop 338 over East Yukon Road in northeast Odessa is scheduled to begin in February. A press release from the Texas Department of Transportation stated on Tuesday afternoon. The overpass project is scheduled to be completed in spring 2023. Regal Construction Incorporated of Euless won the project with a low bid of a little more than $15.7 million. Current activity that is reportedly being done is preparation for the TxDOT project. The city is moving water and sewer lines, while several companies are moving various utilities. The first phase of the TxDOT project will build ramps that will take traffic off the loop and tie into Yukon Road at the new intersections, the press release stated. The intersections are scheduled to have four-way stops until signals can be installed. The ramps and intersection will reportedly serve the purpose of service roads at the intersection on each side of the eventual overpass. This phase will take several months to complete. After the new intersections are completed, work will focus on building overpass embankments and the overpass itself, the press release stated. With the ramps and intersections in place, the impact to traffic will be minimal until Yukon Road is temporarily closed for bridge beam placements and bridge pours. That is more than a year away. The speed limit will be reportedly reduced to 65 miles per hour on Loop 338 through the construction zone. A heavy law enforcement presence may be in use at times to improve safety. Motorists are reminded that state law requires them to obey warning signs and flaggers in the work zone.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing with more articles from the Odessa American, published Wednesday, January 27th. ORMC General Surgeon to Host Virtual Lecture. Dr. Michael Janis, General Surgeon at Odessa Regional Medical Center, will host a virtual lecture from 3 to 4 p.m. Monday to discuss why you shouldn't delay surgical care amidst COVID-19. COVID-19 has changed the way many go about their day, socializing, working, schooling, eating at a restaurant, and filling the gas tank. Even a trip to the doctor's office is different due to COVID-19. For those facing a major surgery, you might wonder what preparation and recovery will look like and whether you'll be safe during the procedure in a COVID-19 era. Janis will answer these questions and more. Viewers can join the live stream and submit questions to be answered at the conclusion of the event using this Microsoft Team invite link, tinyurl.com/y54vjmjw. This event is free and open to the public. Once the event is completed, those that are unable to attend the live stream may view the recording using the same link to watch at a later date. Odessa American Opinion Page, Wednesday, January 27th. Texas View. Failure to fix vaccine registry haunts Texas. The Point. The pandemic has cast a spotlight on the lack of support for our healthcare system. For years, under pressure from anti-vaccination activists, key lawmakers have failed to improve a Texas vaccination database that is incomplete and cumbersome for healthcare providers to use. The long-running difficulties with the state's immunization registry played a central role in Texas's botched rollout of COVID-19 vaccines, according to recent reporting by the Texas Tribune. Millions of Texans are living with the consequences. Confusing discrepancies in the numbers of vaccinations that have been distributed to providers and given to patients. Conflicting advice over who can actually obtain vaccines right now. And, for healthcare providers, a complicated system that diverts their attention from patient care. One doctor told the Tribune his clinic could vaccinate patients at least 3 times faster if the state's registry wasn't so dysfunctional. The problem was entirely foreseeable, and one that State Representative Donna Howard, Democrat, Austin, has been trying to fix for more than a decade. Lawmakers can no longer ignore the cost of their inaction. We urge them to solve this problem this session by passing House Bill 325. The measure addresses MTRAC 2, the state registry for immunizations. The state created the registry in the mid-1990s to collect pediatric vaccination records, enabling healthcare providers to see if a child already had certain shots. The registry is not a public record. Files are electronically secured and accessible only to approved medical professionals. All 50 states maintain such registries. Nearly all of them automatically receive the information from the doctor's office after a child gets vaccinated, unless the family opts out of sharing it. Texas is one of only 4 states that do the opposite, providing information to the database only if the family expressly opts in. The implications are huge. Texas healthcare providers must collect and process opt-in consent forms for the 90 to 95% of vaccinated families who agree to send their information to the state, when the more efficient approach would be to gather opt-out forms from the 5 to 10% of families who do not want to be in the database. One estimate suggested switching to an opt-out system would cut operating costs from $2.64 per child to 29 cents per child. Because healthcare software packages are designed to meet the needs of opt-out states, Texas spent millions of dollars to retrofit its system to comply with Texas's consent laws. Anna Dragsbeck, then president of the Immunization Partnership, told lawmakers in 2015. Likewise, clinics and doctor's offices have to jump through extra hoops and incur extra costs to get their electronic health record software to communicate with the state. As a result, Dragsbeck told lawmakers many physicians don't participate in the database. Fast forward to last month when Texas started managing the complex distribution of COVID-19 vaccinations. Supplies are scarce. The state needs timely, reliable data. And with 2 different types of vaccines, each requiring 2 shots, the state needs to keep track of which patients have received which doses. But the state's vaccine registry isn't up to the task. Some doctors, especially those who don't normally handle immunizations, are suddenly learning a new system. The software used by many doctors' offices does not communicate well with the state, forcing some practices to re-enter and submit the data in other ways. The lag time in processing the records gave the false impression that unused vaccines were sitting on shelves. Howard's House Bill 325 and similar bills she has filed in previous sessions would help address the problem by making the registry opt out. Such a switch would still honor the rights of families who want to keep their childhood immunizations out of the database, while ensuring better communication between software programs, which were designed for opt-out systems. Howard secured House approval in 2013 for a similar bill, only to watch it stall in the Senate. Each session, the measure hits a brick wall. A very small but very vocal minority of anti-vaccination advocates have had the ear of the leadership of the legislature, who have been in a position of gatekeepers in terms of whether a bill can go forward, Howard told us. To be clear, Howard's measure does not require anyone to get a vaccine. Texas law protects families' rights to make those decisions. The question here pertains only to the record keeping for those who choose to get vaccines. The COVID-19 pandemic has cast a harsh spotlight on many aspects of our healthcare system that haven't received the support they deserve. Key among them, we now see, is the state's vaccination registry. It's far past time for lawmakers to approve changes to ensure it functions for the benefit of Texans and their healthcare providers. Column by the Austin American-Statesman.
Hello, this is Cindy reading the death notices from the Odessa American for Wednesday. April Walker Houston, 38, of Keller, Texas, passed away January 15th. Following a hard-fought battle with multiple myeloma. A graveside funeral service for April will be held January 27th at 10 a.m. at Bluebonnet Hills Memorial Park. www.bluebonnethills.com. Alberto Velasquez Alvarez, 59, of Odessa, died Tuesday, January 19th in Odessa. Celebration of Life is scheduled for 5 to 9 p.m. Sunday, January 31st, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel. Kent Arlen DeArmond, 55, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 21st, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Saturday, January 30th, at Hope Alive Church in Odessa. Pastor Craig DeArmond is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Sylvia Barriga Holguin, 64, of Odessa, died Friday, January 22nd, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Thursday, January 28th, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. James DeWitt D. Kendall, 86, of Robert Lee, died Wednesday, January 13th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Friday, January 29th, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Graveside services will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, January 29th, at Robert Lee Cemetery. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Rita Stephanie Ramirez, 76, of Odessa, died Tuesday, January 5th, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 12 noon, January 30th, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Rosary precedes the Mass at 11:30 a.m. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Connie Lee Umphress, 55, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 23rd, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, January 27, 2021. Health and Wellness. MMH Apprentice Programs develops skill set needed for success. By Lee Weatherford, Midland Memorial Hospital. Midland Memorial Hospital is proud to announce that its nurse residency and RN fellowship programs are among the first of 126 nursing transition to practice programs duly recognized by the American Nurses Credentialing Center's Practice Transition Accreditation Program and the U.S. Department of Labor, DOL, industry-recognized apprenticeship programs. IRAPs are industry-driven and customizable apprenticeships that provide individuals with opportunities to obtain relevant workplace knowledge and progressively advanced skills. Although MMH's nurse residency has been an ANCC-PTAP accredited with distinction program since 2018, and the RN fellowship received its accreditation with distinction in February 2020, ANCC-PTAP recently became a standards recognition entity, SRE, with the Department of Labor. As an SRE, ANCC-PTAP will ensure these programs are consistent with DOL standards for IRAPs. High-quality IRAPs meet the following requirements. 1. Paid work. 2. Written training plan. 3. Written apprenticeship agreement. 4. Specialized knowledge and experience. 5. Safety. 6. Equal employment opportunity. 7. Credit for prior knowledge. 8. Mentorship. 9. Industry-recognized credentials. 10. Disclosure of costs and fees. The MMH Nurse Residency Program, launched in 2013, was designed for new graduate RNs and LVNs, or those with less than 6 months' experience. The program consists of state-of-the-art web-based technology and simulation training, as well as hands-on training at the bedside. It also includes clinical preceptors and provides mentors offering personal support and career development guidance. The program produces well-prepared nurses, which means positive outcomes for our patients and increased patient satisfaction, as well as increased nurse satisfaction. The MMH RN Fellowship Program is an individualized, comprehensive program designed to effectively transition either externally hired experienced nurses into the hospital culture and nursing practice areas, or transition in-house nurses transferring into a new specialty area. Transition programs not only add value for smoothly transitioning new nurses into the culture for improved patient outcomes, they can dramatically reduce nurse turnover. I am incredibly proud of our practice transition team for achieving this hard-earned distinction, Chief Nursing Officer Kit Bredemis said. Our practice transition programs provide a great structure for our nurse resident and fellows to gain the knowledge, skills, and attitudes to meet the needs of our community, recognizing the need to develop a locally sustainable program to grow our own nurses. Our team has built a nationally recognized curriculum that not only prepares the next generation of nurses, but also ensures safe delivery of care by well-trained, experienced nurses. As IRAPs, the MMH Nurse Residency and RN Fellowship programs offer opportunities for nurse residents and fellows to earn competitive wages while learning on the job and obtaining valuable industry-recognized competency-based skills. Residents and fellows are given training in standards that are developed by the industry, ensuring an apprentice develops the skill set needed for career success. This is just one more way Midland Health is leading healthcare for Greater Midland. Healthy boundaries can lead to a healthy mind. Samantha Allen, Samaritan Counseling Center of West Texas. Setting healthy boundaries can be difficult for some people. In the moment, it may be easier to avoid conflict. However, this can leave you feeling exhausted, resentful, or taken advantage of. Over time, you may lose yourself in the process as you try to live for others and ignore your own needs. If you have noticed yourself feeling this way, either in personal relationships or at work, it may be time to reflect on what you're allowing and what you can change. A good place to start with setting healthy boundaries is to identify your own needs. For example, what makes you uncomfortable and what can you tolerate? Being more aware of your needs will help you communicate them clearly and effectively. Once your needs have been identified, practice communicating them assertively. Keeping eye contact, a steady tone of voice, and confident posture are all important with assertive communication. Starting sentences with, "I feel," will show that you are acknowledging your own emotions and not shifting blame. For example, if your partner asks you to do the dishes, but you are feeling exhausted, you could simply state, "I'm feeling tired, I had a long day and need to rest. I can do them tomorrow." If you are not used to setting boundaries or assertive communication, you can start small. Be honest with how you're feeling, or say no to something at least once a week. Remember that not everyone will respond well to you asserting your own needs, especially if you do not normally do this. Be consistent and remember that you cannot control others' responses. It is important to keep in mind that having boundaries does not mean you are bossy or rude. Having boundaries show that you value your own needs as well as others. Most people would not mind a physical boundary like a fence around their yard to maintain privacy. Maintaining mental and emotional health is equally important. If Samaritan Counseling Center can be of assistance, please give us a call at 563-4144. Things to know about the Pfizer-BioNTech Moderna coronavirus vaccines by Jared Weber and Vandana Ravikumar, Dallas Morning News. Millions of Americans have received COVID-19 vaccines since the long-awaited inoculation campaign starting December 14 with the Pfizer-BioNTech version of the shots. Now, after a version from Moderna also has been added to help protect Texas's frontline health workers, long-term care residents, and staff members, and people who are over 65 or have underlying medical conditions, here are some answers to lingering questions about the vaccines. Is there anything people should not do in the hours or days before and after getting shots? There are several things people should keep in mind before they get vaccinated. Dr. Philip Huang, Dallas County's health director, has said it's unclear how the coronavirus shots may interact with other vaccinations, so people should not receive another inoculation in the 30 days beforehand. He also recommended that people who have COVID-19 or have recently been exposed to someone who's infected wait before getting inoculated, 90 days if the person is positive for COVID-19, or until the end of a self-quarantine period if they've been exposed. People with a history of documented COVID, it's uncommon for them to get reinfected in the 90 days after infection, Huang said. Patients should wait briefly after they're vaccinated to ensure they don't experience side effects, 15 minutes for most patients, and 30 minutes for people with a history of severe allergy, Huang said. What happens if people only get one dose of the vaccine? To ensure maximum immunity from COVID-19, it's important for people to get the two-dose vaccines exactly as they're intended, said Dr. Vivian Johnson, Senior Vice President of Clinical Support Services at Parkland Health and Hospital System. If you do not take that second dose, you will never really achieve the antibody level to help you be able to fight COVID-19, she said. Could you get one dose of the Pfizer vaccine and one of the Moderna vaccine? Again, experts say that people must receive the vaccines exactly as they were tested in clinical trials. The data that we know where it works is when it's the same product, Huang said. If someone mistakenly got another vaccine, we would not recommend they go back. We don't want that to happen. If mistakenly it does happen, it's like you start over your regimen. Health officials say they're doing everything they can to prevent mix-ups from happening. In the absence of any data, it would be wrong, said Dr. Charles Lerner, a San Antonio-based infectious disease specialist and a member of the Texas Medical Association's COVID-19 task force. How safe is the vaccine? This is an incredibly safe vaccine, said Dr. Joseph McCormick, a professor of epidemiology at UT Health School of Public Health in Brownsville. You're going to hear about a few allergic reactions, but otherwise, it's very safe. He said the vaccine is so safe, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recommended that pregnant or breastfeeding women may get it. Normally, it might take a little longer for vaccines to be approved for use on those women, McCormick said. People don't want to give, for example, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine to a woman who is pregnant, even today, he said. If it's an inactivated vaccine, like meningitis or tetanus, no problem. But if it's a live, attenuated virus, you don't want to go doing that. But the COVID vaccine is not a virus-replicating vaccine, unlike other common inoculations. He added that the risk of potential side effects from the vaccine is low. If you're going to say, I won't take the vaccine because there's maybe a 1 in a million chance that I might die from it, that doesn't make any sense, he said. That's like walking across the expressway at night wearing dark clothes, and your biggest worry is getting hit by lightning. It's just nonsensical. How do the vaccines work? Is it different from past vaccines? The Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna vaccines were made with something called mRNA, or messenger RNA, technology. Scientifically, it's a groundbreaking accomplishment, Johnson said. Traditional vaccines use actual, though significantly or completely weakened, viruses to trigger an immune response, she said. That response is the result of the body learning to fight the virus. But with mRNA vaccines, the vaccine instead teaches the body how to create a protein. That protein then sets off the immune response that helps the body generate antibodies and immune cells. Those antibodies and immune cells are the defense mechanism the body uses to attack the virus. Many people have that fear. Are you going to catch the disease itself from the vaccine? Said Dr. Ashish Acharya, an infectious disease specialist at Baylor Scott & White Medical Center, Grapevine. That's not even a possibility with this. What percentage of the population needs to be vaccinated to lift COVID restrictions? Although the vaccines are promising, it will take months to reach the levels that will be needed to bring life back to normal. The big message is, for heaven's sake, while there is a light at the end of the tunnel is still long, McCormick said. Huang has said estimates for that vaccination rate have been put at about 60% to 70%. As with any vaccine, patients who receive it are not guaranteed immunity from the virus. Because of this, patients who receive the vaccine should still wear a mask and practice social distancing, both to protect themselves and others around them. There have been cases of infection occurring in immunized people, Lerner said. There have been cases of second COVID infections. You need to continue protective measures. Do the new vaccines imply anything about previously unsolved health problems? Some people have wondered whether new vaccine technology could offer hope of preventing other ailments, such as the common cold. We understand the common cold, McCormick said, but the problem is there are so many viruses that cause the common cold. But that doesn't mean treatments for those viruses are out of reach, he said. For example, the knowledge scientists now have about creating mRNA vaccines for COVID-19 could be used to create vaccines for other coronaviruses, which could cause colds. Huang said the development of the COVID-19 vaccines built on research that was underway on other coronaviruses, such as MERS. That allowed this to be developed more quickly, Huang said. Distributed by Tribune Content Agency, LLC. Vaccinations have begun. Tables have been set up for the public to enter and be checked in at the Backstage Pavilion Friday to complete any paperwork for their vaccination. Vaccine information. The Midland Unified Command Team has started administering COVID-19 vaccine to Phase 1A and 1B individuals this week at the Horseshoe Backstage facility by appointment only. If you are in Phases 1A, healthcare workers, or 1B, over 65 and or diagnosed with a chronic disease, and have not had COVID-19 in the past 90 days, you can register to get on the list for this distribution and future allocations of the COVID-19 vaccine by visiting midlandhealth.org/vaccine and clicking on the Click to Register button. Detailed information defining the populations included in these phases is available on the above-mentioned website. A phone line is being set up for those without internet access and released at a later date. Once on the waiting list, you will not receive a phone call to be scheduled. You will be assigned an appointment time and date and receive an email or text message with the information needed. For further questions, visit midlandhealth.org/vaccine. Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, January 23, 2021. Anticipation arises. Interim Superintendent Ann Dixon and MISD Board Member Rick Davis are shown at an MISD Board swearing-in ceremony. This MISD Superintendent pick will be different. Stuart Doreen, sdoreen@hearstmp.com. This week, a friend responded to an article on the lone finalist to be the next superintendent by saying that I was trying to be optimistic in my report about the selection. It was an interesting interpretation. I will tell you that if there is a community that needs a little optimism when it comes to education, it is Midland. I'm not talking about the type of optimism that is Charlie Brown thinking this will be the time he kicks the football. I'm talking about the type of optimism that Angelica Ramsey is the real deal. First, I want to compliment my friends at MISD Homework, the Facebook page that provides information, insight, and commentary about education. They read some of the social media banter about Ramsey, specifically her being from California, and were clear in their message that it's important that we give our new superintendent a chance. If you get an opportunity, check out MISD Homework's page. Give it a read and even a like. For someone wanting thought-provoking commentary on education, it is required reading. Still, I thought about my optimism, and after some thought, I wanted to say that optimism probably wasn't an accurate portrayal of my mood. Instead, I would use the term excited. In fact, I can't remember the last time I had such anticipation about what's ahead for MISD. Was it 2012 after the overwhelming passage of the largest bond in the community's history? That's a possibility. At that point, we didn't realize how bad our academic downturn was. That discovery was a couple years away. Still, the last 6 years or so have been tough for those wanting to see our district succeed. We brought out all the big guns to make it work. Millions of dollars were donated to pay off recapture payments, more millions to get teachers in the classroom and programs for the district, and the state came in to help with a governance plan to help our struggles with failing schools. Still, in the end, superintendents found new homes when the sense was the fit just really wasn't there. Midland isn't exactly like anywhere else. We know that to be the case. So what's with the excitement? There are at least two reasons. First, the board has had its best run in more than a decade. This board took the very tough step of taking back its district and remaking its identity. Transformation was going to take place, but academic performance and back to the basic education would be the rule. Online academics and 21st century practices, it appears, have been put on the back burner. As another friend has told me, the board and our community must demand the focus be right and that culture be in place to support that goal prior to the hiring of its leader. It's probably no different than a business in that respect. And when it comes to academic achievement being the goal, it appears the board and community have a focus that wasn't there prior to the hiring of at least the last two superintendents, when it was possible that we struggled to know our own identity. Second, they hired Angelica Ramsey. Her background is not about bond passage or an intriguing upside as a district leader. The Ramsey selection is about being right for Midland right now. The president of the school board, where Ramsey serves, now said she is data-driven, doesn't make decisions based on politics, and has put together plans that will remain in place long after she leaves. Becky Kramer, the president of the board of the Pleasant Valley School District, said she was actually putting together a nomination for Ramsey for an award based on her superintendent's response to the COVID pandemic when she heard Ramsey was taking the position in Midland. That is what the right leader does, executing the strategy based on a plan that comes from an overall mission and goals set by a board. Ramsey, in her conversations with the Reporter Telegram, has talked about central office being complementary to the campus, right-sizing central office, if needed, making it known. The last time I checked, we don't teach kids at central office, and building systems that will make Midland ISD better in the long run. While we can and should expect changes, it is hard to think education will get more complicated in its delivery. Midland has taught us that there is no such thing as a sure thing. It is that ultimate test for those who believe their strategies are tried and true. It will humble you quickly. You don't have to be optimistic or excited about the arrival of a new superintendent. Still, I hope people in our community rally around the new leader of Midland's public schools. This MISD superintendent selection will be different. It has to be. Commentary. Energy infrastructure is essential to powering the Texas economy. Jeff Clark and Elizabeth Caldwell, Texans for Natural Gas. The phrase, everything is bigger in Texas, is especially true when it comes to energy. While it may not surprise many to hear that our state is the top oil and natural gas producer in the country, we also generate more wind-powered energy than any other state in the Union. 2. Solar power is growing quickly and, when it comes to electric power generation, we produce nearly twice the power of Florida, the second largest electricity producer. Infrastructure makes our success possible. Robust pipeline and processing systems carry oil and gas from Texas's prolific basins to refineries along the coast, LNG export terminals, or other end-use facilities. Similarly, while Texas produced 28% of America's wind power in 2019, much of that clean power would be wasted without a sophisticated network of transmission lines carrying that power from windy and sunny regions to our population centers. But energy infrastructure is about more than simply shipping energy from point A to B. Pipelines and transmission lines also create high-paying jobs for Texans. A recent Texas Tech study found that Texas's pipeline industry alone is expected to contribute $374 billion to the state's economy from 2015 to 2024, while sustaining 171,000 high-paying jobs annually. For state and local government revenues, that means another $19.5 billion for schools, hospitals, roads, and bridges. And tax revenue from wind and solar projects is breathing new life into rural communities while providing payments to landowners hosting these new technologies. Texas infrastructure is meeting the needs of local communities as well as domestic and international energy needs. While some would seek to pit our energy industries against one another, oil and gas producers in this state are more and more often delivering their energy in partnership with renewables. Today, renewable energy is powering revenue in Texas, and that revenue is only expected to grow. In 2019, the Permanent University Fund, PUF, received more than $1 billion from mineral income produced on state-owned land. That is money that goes to fund programs at the University of Texas and Texas A&M University. Keep tuition low and provide scholarships for thousands of Texans. One study found that PUF mineral income could reach $28 billion over the next 30 years. Renewables are powering that revenue daily. According to recent reporting, there are currently 45 announced renewable projects in the United States that are intended solely to power oil and gas operations. Occidental Petroleum announced plans last year to launch a solar-powered facility to power operations in the Permian Basin. Similarly, ExxonMobil signed a 12-year agreement in 2018 to partner with Ørsted to supply 500 megawatts of wind and solar power in the Permian. But the oil and natural gas partnership with renewables isn't limited just to the oil patch. Enova LNG recently announced plans to operate electric-driven compressor engines through 100% carbon-free renewable energy resources at its planned Port of Brownsville facility. There are just a few ways in which the oil and gas industry and the renewable energy industry are partnering to reduce environmental impacts. It's not just renewables. Pipelines and infrastructure accomplish that goal too. Pipelines eliminate the need for trucks to haul oil and gas from production facilities to their next destination. They are the safest, most reliable, and cleanest way to move these resources. Pipelines also reduce flaring, preventing waste and allowing methane to be used for power generation, heating homes, or as a feedstock for manufacturing. Transmission lines help bring cleaner power to our growing cities, reducing the use of dirtier power, like out-of-state coal, and helping keep air and water clean. Demand for oil and gas is increasing in expanding markets around the world, and countries are prioritizing imports from regions that can demonstrate a commitment to reducing methane emissions. Texas ranks favorably compared to other global suppliers like Russia and members of OPEC, and expanding pipeline capacity to reduce emissions further will only enhance Texas energy leadership globally. Using Texas renewables to power oil and gas production enhances it even further. The Texas energy economy would not be the model that it is for the rest of the world if not for our robust infrastructure systems. There are more than 470,000 miles of pipeline in Texas and about 3,500 miles of transmission lines capable of carrying our power from our 25,000 megawatt wind power fleet across our great state. The Texas legislature convened earlier this month, and it is critical that those members recognize that essential infrastructure not only powers the Texas energy economy today, but will be critical to meeting demand well into the future. Jeff Clark is the president of the Advanced Power Alliance. Elizabeth Caldwell is spokesperson for Texans for Natural Gas.
Polymyalgia rheumatica. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, Wednesday, January 27th. Dear Dr. Roach, my cousin, a woman in her mid-50s, was recently diagnosed with polymyalgia rheumatica. She was diagnosed early and has been on the standard prednisone treatment for 7 days. She's been athletic most of her adult life and became concerned when the pain she was suffering was different from normal athletic pains. Her mom, my aunt, also had PMR, but not until her late 70s. I'd like to know more about PMR, its treatment, and the likelihood of it being hereditary. Would exercises, supplements, or an anti-inflammatory diet help? Answer. Polymyalgia rheumatica is a common but underdiagnosed inflammatory rheumatic condition found almost exclusively in older adults. It most often causes pain in the muscles of the arms, shoulders, neck, and torso, and is typically much worse in the morning. It is more frequent than in women. Both sides of the body are equally affected. The diagnosis is made based on symptoms, but a blood test helps support the diagnosis.
Dear Abby, drunken flirting puts close friend at greater distance. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been close friends with a woman named Louise for 5 years. Recently, we were all hanging out, and Louise got very drunk and tried to massage lotion into my husband's hands. She also hugged him and wouldn't let go, although he put his hands at his side and his whole body stiffened. My husband has expressed to me that these situations made him very uncomfortable, and they do the same to me. We talked about letting Louise know, but he felt it would only make her feel awkward around us. It has been a month, and I can't seem to let it go. I don't want to text her, and I'm finding excuses to avoid her. Should I continue trying to let this go, or is the conversation in order? Taken aback in New York. Dear Taken Aback, if you let it go, it will probably happen again and the friendship will be over. A conversation with Louise is overdue. She needs to know she must be more careful about her drinking, because the last time she became very drunk, she embarrassed not only her husband, but also you. Dear Abby, I am childless, but I have a niece I've given lots of money to over the years. She's in her mid-40s with a young child and a husband who has a low-paying job. Although she has several degrees, she has worked mostly as a waitress. They live in a tiny apartment, and during these rough times, I have been paying their rent. She rarely acknowledges it. I have never discussed it with her parents, and I have no idea how much they have or have not helped her. I'm conflicted about helping her, them, because this is such a tough time. I can't see how they're going to make their lives better without help. I'm wondering if you have some advice on how I can best assist them or if I should stop. Losing Faith in Colorado. Dear Losing Faith, you haven't spoken to your niece's parents about what you have been doing. Why not? If you do, it may give you a clearer picture of her situation. I wish you had been more forthcoming about why she isn't using any of the college degrees she has earned. If her parents are helping her, you may need to be doing less. Your niece should research to find out whether government assistance is available. If it isn't, and you can afford it, consider continuing the financial assistance until the COVID situation is under control. Then your niece and her husband can get back on their feet, and you can stop being treated like an ATM. Royal Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Aquarius and a moon in Cancer until 8:54 p.m., when the moon enters Leo. Happy birthday for Wednesday, January 27, 2021. Precocious, quick, and playful, your talents manifest at an early age. You may have had to grow up too quickly. This year, accepting more responsibilities, hard as it is, assures your success. If single, you sweep others off their feet, but it takes until 2022 to find your true soulmate. If attached, you can play Peter Pan all you want and experience pure bliss. Gemini is the most fun. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. This winter isn't the best time for travel. Today brings substance to long-range plans. Goals are more reachable and clearly defined. The company of the very old and the very young cheers and comforts you. Tonight, friendship spans the generation gap gracefully. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Pursue writing. Return calls and emails. You're more cheerful and will be led to important sources of information, enabling you to find answers to burning questions. Ask a blessing on goals you want to accomplish during the year ahead. Tonight, catch up with a neighbor. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Today relates strongly to financial matters. Be aware of how current trends and new conditions can impact your earning ability. Resist the temptation to overspend. A relative or business associate affects your financial situation. Tonight, talk it over with an elderly female family member. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Always tender and sensitive. You will feel the need to be protected from career stresses and demanding individuals, and, today, harmony returns. Your cherished beliefs are supported, and you create success around your most important goals. Tonight, in wonderment. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. Background research and testing of techniques lead to success. Develop depth of concentration. Being alone will seem more enjoyable. You can create your own bliss or misery with the power of thought. Tonight, keep a positive state of mind. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Today makes it easy for you to promote beliefs and causes that are meaningful to you. Team spirit is strong, and you enlist the help of associates in realizing goals. It's easier to make the right choices. Tonight, communication with those you care for improves. Libra, September 23 through October 22, 4 stars. Today underscores ambition and the need for accomplishment. Much will be expected of you. You will make plans regarding your career and revamp an existing job or seek a new one. Steady effort and patience lead to success. Tonight, don't rely on quick solutions. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 4 stars. Your acting ability and flamboyance will be expressed in your conversations and emails today. Don't adhere too closely to old habits and ideas. New information brings a different viewpoint to the fore. Tonight, don't resist the new order coming into your life. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 3 stars. Put spiritual values above the practical today. Ask questions and do research to resolve confusion. Inspirational ideas about your career path can set you apart from the crowd at work. Don't be upset, though, if others have trouble understanding you. Tonight, be very honest. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 5 stars. Today, an existing relationship develops new depths of beauty and tenderness, or you attract a new admirer. There is an end in sight to problems that have demanded your time and attention for the past couple of years. Tonight, dinner with a loved one. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 2 stars. Temperature extremes, especially the cold, affect you profoundly. Massage of the lower legs and protective boots or stockings are a must. Your ankle area is especially vulnerable. Observe how you feel today for more insight. Tonight, health may be in your thoughts. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. A new opportunity for a child makes you happy. Your creative potential is about to unfold even further. It's a good time to indulge in a bit of risk-taking or competition. Romance has been tinged with old regrets. Tonight, Cupid will smile on you. Born today, composer Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, 1756, writer Lewis Carroll, 1832, actress Bridget Fonda, 1964.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.